Welcome to Creative Accounting, a podcast series exploring how creative methodologies and the arts can assist in developing accounting practice.
I'm Dr. Alessandro Morandino, lecturer in accounting at Queen Mary University, London. We have the pleasure to have another great host and a fantastic guest. So, Professor Nick McGuigan.
Hi everyone, I'm Professor Nick McGuigan. I work as a Professor of Accounting here at Monash Business School in Australia.
And Melanie Proffitt.
Hello, my name's Melanie Proffitt. I'm the CFO for Barnham Estate, which is a private estate in the Cotswolds, home to some hotels and farm buildings and many other things. And I also sit on ACCA's Global Council as part of their governance structure.
Fantastic, thank you. So as a start, can you talk us through some or couple of major challenges that the accounting profession is facing today?
I think there's a lot of challenges facing the profession. I think there's attracting and retaining talent. I think the attractiveness of the profession is something that we're facing. I don't think it's unique to accountancy. I think there's many professions facing those challenges. And I think there's the adoption of new technologies. I think there's fear around some of those technologies about what it will mean for the roles going forward. So I think they're probably the biggest ones in terms of staying relevant and staying up to speed with the new technologies and not being fearful of them. I think that society is demanding different things from businesses. So again, I think the profession is going to need to adapt and perhaps think about new skills and new ways to engage and develop those skills.
So what do you think is holding us back? So, or how we can be more attractive, or how we can overcome this fear, for example, or new technology?
I think we need to embrace it. The technology is coming and it's going to come, you know, so we need to be open and open our minds to it and think about how we might sort of create some excitement around what it might mean for us and how we can add value in different ways. I think we need to sort of break down some of the old stereotypes around what the profession is and highlight through great sort of stories and role models and examples of just what sort of contribution we can make to business and to society. I think, you know, we know that the society is demanding different things of businesses, and we've talked a lot about that in our great event. So I think we need to sort of really highlight how the accountancy profession can really add value in that space and make it interesting and exciting to the next generation. I think we need to break down that sort of vision of a, you know, sort of somebody sitting in a box just with a calculator. It's not like that anymore. I think we've got so much more to add and so much more we can do.
Is that also what's holding us back in terms of attracting talent within the profession? What is it about accounting that doesn't seem to attract young, especially young people? I think globally we're seeing this right around the world.
Yeah, I just don't think we've necessarily highlighted just where accountants are and where they are in their businesses and what they do. I think, you know, sort of, I think we just need to sort of really get some really good role models, some really good examples out there of just what an accountant's life looks like. I think, you know, every business, successful business, will need an accountant in there helping them make good decisions. And I think we've talked about this, haven't we, that businesses need to be good corporate citizens, and that's changing. What's required from a business is changing, and the impact a business can have on society, on the planet. So I think we need to really sort of tell that story and inspire the next generation to see just what impact we can have. And I think, you know, we've talked about this for the creativity side of it and the fun side of it, so that it's not got, we get rid of that boring tag. You know, none of us around the table embrace that. So I think we need to really sort of challenge that stereotype and break down those barriers to make it fun and exciting, but also impactful. I think, you know, the next generation are looking for careers where they can have an impact and where they can do good. So I think we need to make sure we're not sort of seen as the is the grey suit with the calculator striving for capitalism. We're actually striving for a force for good.
You mentioned that we need to embrace it. We need to have an open mind. We need to break down stereotypes. And then you mentioned the event that we had a few months ago. So we're going to that event in a second. How do you think playfulness, to be so creative, can be a good way, a productive way to help us overcome these challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think it just puts a different perspective on things. I think, you know, sort of, you know, I think as an accountant, certainly when I reflect on how I feel, we like to be in control. We like to know what's going to happen. And I think sometimes when you play, you're not quite sure how it's going to play out effectively. So, I think that's unnerving for accountants, you know, and we have logical brains and we like structure. So I think that element of out of control is uncomfortable. But I think taking you to an uncomfortable place, breaking down barriers, getting us relaxed and then having an open and free phone conversation, I think unlocks different perspectives and different views. I think it was, you know, whilst unnerving and a little uncomfortable, then actually became really engaging. So I think it's definitely got a place in terms of stimulating thought processes and discussion on how we might solve the challenges.
This anxiety, or just paraphrasing, and being unnerving, because you say clearly, we as accountants, we have a logical mind, quite structured, and then this art and playfulness disrupt a little bit this logical. So how do you think, why do you think that is? But you mentioned we have this logical, but how we can overcome this anxiety that art or playfulness can bring?
You have to create a safe environment where people don't feel threatened and don't feel so self-conscious. And I think that's quite often most things that are holding people back is they're worried about what people are going to think about them, or whether what they're going to say is silly or not relevant. But I think by creating a relaxed environment and introducing the play and the creativity in a gentle way in a smaller group, I think is more effective. But yeah, people have to feel safe and relaxed and not on show. And I think the setting in which you do that is important. You know, I think if I can reflect on the event, you know, sort of sitting around a table at eating, I think there's some very sort of physical things. You know, so they always say that if you're going to have a challenging conversation, go for a walk with somebody side by side, you know, so sitting side by side, sharing food, having had a little bit of a get together in the, you know, sort of when we arrived, I don't want to indulge too much in terms of if you're going to introduce what we did. But so I think all of those things are really important in creating and setting the scene to introduce then the creativity and the stimulating the discussion. So there is a physical element to creating a safe space and an environment where people will feel more relaxed and drop their barriers.
You were saying about how sometimes we can be a little bit afraid about what people think or what people say, and then we've got this idea of that everything's structured and it's certain and we need that certainty. I really want to come back to that idea of young people coming into the profession, because it is such a concern, I think, globally for all accounting bodies. Is that part of why young people don't see an affiliation to the profession? Are we too stiff?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. I think we are too stiff. I think you can even think about sort of the way we dress. You know, typically the expectation of an accountant is in a suit. And to be fair, you know, that's how I started my career, wearing a suit, you know, because that was my armor. That meant I had a right to be at the table. That was sort of, I'd got my qualifications, I'd got my letters after my name, I wore my suit, off I went, you know, sort of at the weekend, I put my rugby shirt on and go down to the rugby. I think there's a degree of sort of what we present as an image actually to a certain extent creates some of this perception. So I love it when I go to accountancy events and I see people completely different, you know, where you might go and they're sort of the dress code is just a free for all, really, you know. And again, I'm in fact, if you took a picture of us all in Coventry, we were quite a lot of us fit in the stereotype. So I think there's a lot around physical appearance. There's a lot around how we talk. There's a lot about what we do, the organizations in which we work, so I think there's a lot to try and unpack there, Nick, really, to attract the next generation. But certainly, yeah, there is a physical appearance that will help us, I think, if we can challenge some of those stereotypes. And I mean, I've worked in organizations, and this is true. We'd had quite a relaxed sort of environment where the guys wore a shirt and a jacket. And then we had a new leader come in, a new sort of manager, and he actually sent one of the guys home to put a tie on.
Wow.
I know. So really, you know, that's not helping.
No.
You know, you can be professional and smart without having to, you know, sort of put a shirt and a tie on.
People can't see Nick, but people know Nick. And it's amazing how his way of being in his dress is really challenging this stiffness and this voice. So you can be an accountant without being that stereotype.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it kind of brings a level of humanity into what we're doing. Like, we can engage with our clients because we're looking a little bit more like them. So it makes communication for us a lot easier.
Exactly. And I think, you know, I always like to say that I'm not a stereotypical accountant. I like to have a fun personality, engaging, smiley. You know, and I think you're right, Nick. You know, you need to think about your audience and who you're engaging with. And straight away, if you can go and look like them or look fun or look, you know, sort of exciting, or they want to come and talk to you about what you do and what you're interested in. So I think in terms of reaching out to that next generation, we need to look at what they value, what they look like, and how can we connect with them on a level that resonates with them.
Talking about how to get rid of this boring tag, as you mentioned before, or this stiffness of being accountant. So you recently engaged in the with this playfulness event that with Nick and other three colleagues at Coventry University organized. It's called Send to Coventry. Literally.
See, that was quite playful. I loved the whole sort of, you know, anyone who's in the UK knows what that means. But I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so we have this. So it was a business event, but with a twist. It wasn't boring because we are not boring accountants. Thank you very much. But it was playful because it was led and co-designed by artists. And I don't know, would you like to walk us through what you experienced, what you thought about this event?
Oh, well, yeah, you know, Alexandra, this was just sort of a really, you know, sort of spectacular event for me. You know, it was, I can honestly say I've never heard singing mushrooms before, and I didn't expect that at all. I love the connection to nature through the mushrooms and the variety of colours, which fed into the wonderful narrative that was then played into your ears. And that approach made it private and stimulating experience for me, such that I was focused on the story that was being told. And it left me with an overwhelming message that our beautiful natural environment was the legacy to be left. So, you know, it was incredibly impactful. And totally not what I was expecting. I thought some of the questions around the table that we discussed, you know, sort of what if nature wrote the rules, what would happen, you know, was sort of, again, very, very thought provoking. But it really stimulated emotion in me, the whole approach. So I found it sort of wonderful. I think it's interesting because I am a reflector. So I was sort of just absorbed in what was going on. And it wasn't till I left that I perhaps sort of really thought about what I'd been through in terms of what I'd just experienced. And you know, we've talked about it. I had to then go and sort of discuss it with lots of my friends and family to sort of not make sense of it, but just sort of reflect on just how it sort of left me feeling. But yeah, for me, when I have reflected, the most impactful thing was the narrative in the headset, because that was so personal and so private. But because I was hearing that, looking at some, you know, sort of beautifully coloured mushrooms, it really, the two went together, if you know what I mean, because the emotion that I was getting from what I was hearing, I was seeing in front of me in terms of the natural planet.
For those who weren't at this dinner, so they actually, you and other senior finance professionals had the opportunity to really play with mushrooms and play music with mushrooms.
Right.
Absolutely. And then there was led us some artists called Talking Birds, and they really help us. Well, we did it together, actually. And there was this beautiful audio created by the artist Janet, well, talking through accounting and nature and thinking more widely. I really like what you said. It was stimulating. It was actually a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, it was definitely overwhelming.
But in a good way, right?
Oh yeah, in a really positive way. And like you say, I think the narrative was, like you say, was very much around an accountant who was at the top of his game, really successful. But you know, what was his legacy? And you know, that was, you know, sort of when he walked through the beautiful woods and and looked at the sort of surroundings, that was what he wanted to leave behind, not necessarily a glowing career or a successful business. You know, it was the planet. And so I think it did have a really profound impact on me. I felt quite emotional at the end. So much so that, you know, I think you sort of alluded to asking me, you know, I went and bought some books, I've joined roundtable discussions about regenerative business models and how can I really sort of start to do something rather than read about it, but what can I actually do and how can I make a difference?
Absolutely, because we played as well with the idea of mushrooms and mycelium. So having this network and these mycelium and how they spread. So these, again, Nick is an expert in integrative thinking. So having this, if you like, systemic or broad holistic view and mycelium were just a perfect piece of nature that can really help us to think outside a box.
Can I just jump in there? I was really, when you were talking about you went away and you spoke to family members and friends and tried to make sense of what was occurring, and I'm really curious about, you said about that the most important thing the accountant could do was to leave nature behind rather than a successful organization. I'm really curious what your thoughts are around this in relation to stewardship and our role as accountants of accountability and that notion of stewardship and stewarding the natural resources through our organizations, but also through societies and being able to leave that legacy behind. And I think that's also what we were trying to think about with the mycelium. When you have a networked system that does work to complement each other rather than always competing against each other, what does that mean for the stewardship of accounting and accountability?
I think that's where, you know, sort of so much of, you know, sort of the accounting profession and the stewardship has been to look at a return on capital. And it's not just capital. It's got to be human resources, human capital. It's got to be the natural capital. I think we need to look at the business models that that drive decision making in organisations and almost flip it around, you know, so your people and your planet come first. And if you've got that, then you generate your profit or use your profits to look after your people and your planet. But I think, you know, it's around those sorts of business models and those discussions at the table where those three things need to have prominence. And it's not just one thing that we're talking about. We need to shift the dial and think differently. and we need to help organisations do that by showing them how they can. And I think that is the challenge, and that is going to be, you know, organisations leading the way, sharing the stories. It's similar to what we're talking about in terms of breaking down the barriers of being the sort of boring accountant. It's about how can we work as a network, to your point, really, how can we sort of feed off each other and learn how to adapt and how to drive business to make decisions that considers those key things just as importantly as it considers its own profit. It needs to have people in the planet and society as really key measures. And you know, that's how we measure, model and analyze these things becomes incredibly important. We're the trusted advisor. We're seen as people with integrity. We can provide assurance. So I think our voice is strong. And so we just need to use it in the right way to shape the right decisions and make businesses good corporate citizens.
I just love how the biggest impact for you from that event has been to go onto these kind of regenerative boards, because you bring such a wealth of that accounting-based knowledge to that context, and where others often don't. And so that literal integration of those two together, that those are going to be the solutions for the future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you've got to believe in the ripple effect, haven't you? You've got to believe that if you can excite and get some, you know, sort of stimulation, which I think is what we were trying to do at our event, was to stimulate thought, get that ripple effect, send those people off from around that table to go and do something different, to talk to friends, to talk to family, to talk to business, and say, okay, well, what does this mean and how can we do something about it? You know, my father's 79 and I couldn't get him off the phone talking about this, you know, so he's in the latter stages of his life, but clearly still excited about it and chuffed to bits that, you know, sort of we're having these conversations. But equally, then I went to speak to, you know, sort of a hospital director of mine. Again, she's got a very good sort of value system that's very aligned to me, you know, and we had a great conversation. And it's about that. It's about the ripple effect of getting the energy into these discussions.
I really like this ripple effect, and I really like that your father enjoyed this conversation. Looking forward to meeting your father now.
Yeah.
It could be in our next podcast. So shifting the dial, you said, and think differently. And for example, using profit to look after people and nature, you said. So how do you think playfulness or art can help in this adventure or can help in this challenge?
Well, I think it does help you think differently. I think that's what this event did, you know, in terms of it, literally exactly that. It made you reflect and stimulate thought process to say, okay, well, you know, sort of how do we measure these things? Can we measure these things? You know, sort of, and what does that look like? And it might not look like traditional, you know, sort of, it might not be so tangible. We've got to get ourselves comfortable with different metrics, you know, got to prepare to look forward rather than look back all the time. Again, typically accountants are reporting on history, you know, in terms of what's happened, and the history informs the future, but that's not necessarily the case. I think we've got to look forward and see how we can look at things in a different way.
So is there a role of creative methodologies, if you like, of this creative approach in accounting?
Perhaps expand on that a little bit more for me in terms of creativity. What are you sort of thinking?
This approach of working with artists and co-creating events or activities or something with artists. So do you think can have a future? Is that... And because it's hard, it's difficult because, as I said before, accountants may don't like it because they feel scared, afraid. So what do you think could be the future of these creative methodologies, of this playfulness in the profession?
I think it's got to come to learning. I think it you know, it's our sort of, I think some of it's around our education journey. I think if you look at children learn through play. And why do we stop when we're adults? Why yes. should it stop when we're adults? Who says that you can't yes. play and learn at the same time? So I think, you know, for me, when I was walking away from that and I was thinking, OK, well, how, you know, and one of your questions, what do I do with this? And well, how can I do this with my team at work? You know, how can we go and have fun and solve a problem? Mm-hmm. And how can we create an environment where everyone's got a voice and they're happy to participate? And so I think sometimes, you know, role play and stimulation and all these different things are good, and they feel a little bit unnatural. It's a bit unusual to perhaps do those things, but I think, you know, I think the playfulness is a big thing, really. I think we need to perhaps have a look at that in terms of our learning, but that's not just sort of perhaps learning through, you know, sort of doing our professional exams, but even in business, you know, I subscribe to lifetime, you know, learning. I don't want to stop. I'm always curious. So how do you use that curiosity in a playful way to stimulate different thought processes and not yep. be scared that you're not going to get the answer, you know, and there's not necessarily always a right and wrong answer. And sometimes it's right for that particular moment and then it changes. But getting comfortable with those sorts of things.
It's good that when you said don't be scared, because I can see maybe some accountants can be scared of playing and have these reluctances. So what the hell is that? Why do I need to do this?
It's not feeling, you don't want to sort of put people in a really uncomfortable position. But and I think, you know, back to our event and to almost the warm up, if you like, you know, in terms of getting yourself into a space where you feel comfortable and then start the play. So I think it's just sort of taking people on that journey to get them in that mindset ready to play and to participate. But I think it's an interesting one around sort of fear and you know, sort of breaking that down. But I suppose it's thinking about what are they afraid of and how can we get them to a comfortable place. And I think some of that is physical, like I said, you know, the way we sit, the way we interact. But I think once people have had the experience, you know, it's always the same, isn't it? The next time you go to something like that, it'll be, or next time you participate in that way, you will feel a bit more relaxed. So I think it's something we need to be trying to do a lot more so that it's not so alien to people.
No, I liked how you made that connection to education. So as in, you'd mentioned that accountant's role, they look at the past to then predict the future. And we're moving so much in the world to this period of uncertainty and complexity. That logical, analytical way of thinking is fantastic, but we also equally need that lateral approach. And I liked what you were saying about being comfortable, because maybe the play and the art can help us as accountants to move much more into that lateral, complex thinking that we might have sort of dismissed a little bit before based on our practices.
Totally, totally. Yeah, and I think that is probably a key part of learning. You know, we talked about sort of perhaps our skill set needs to expand and be different going forward because of the pace of change and because of what's happening around us. We haven't got certainty anymore, you know, and we need to get comfortable with that, and we need to get comfortable with the pace of change, and that we can't always refer to the historical trends anymore because they're, you know, sort of they're not relevant. And it comes back to that relevant piece, isn't it? So we have got to look for other indicators around us that might not be traditional that will help us see what's coming. We're never going to know for sure, but you know, you might create scenarios, you'll engage with people, you'll engage with people perhaps you wouldn't have normally engaged with to try and help navigate this future. But yeah, getting comfortable with uncertainty, getting comfortable with different tools, different metrics, different engagements, is something that I think this sort of experience through a learning journey would be incredibly helpful. So I do think, you know, right back to the point, you know, was when we were talking about what accountants need, you know, what's the profession facing, this relevant piece is around different skill sets. So, you know, and thinking about the learning, Nick, you know, just sort of perhaps sitting 14 exams in 3 hours and just, you know, whack is not necessarily going to prepare me for the role that I need to do. So how do we think about assessing individuals to be a rounded, future ready, professional, business ready accountant, maybe that needs to be different.
Yeah.
And maybe that'll be more exciting for the next generation if they feel like they've not got to sit in front of a computer for 3 hours and type out what they know. Maybe if part of that accreditation process includes role play, includes a stimulation, includes a scenario where you have to deliver and adapt, maybe that will be more interesting to them.
Melanie, it's always a great pleasure to talk to you. So it's seriously, because it's not the first time that we talk to you about it. So it's always fantastic. But sadly, the time is up, and I'm sure that we can talk for other 3-4 days, not hours.
Pretty sure.
Before thank you. So it's just to say, this is a part of a bigger, larger project called Creative Accounting, where we use art and creativity, and we work with artists to make a difference and impact in accounting. And this is an example. So Melanie, I don't know how can I thank you enough. I don't know, because it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I learn always a lot from you. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Oh, well, thank you very much for inviting me to be part of your podcast and to have such an engaging and stimulating conversation, and you know, to have been part of your creative play to stimulate some thoughts. So it's wonderful. I really enjoy it. And I always feel very energised when I've spoken to you. So I always feel like I'm on a one-woman mission to go and save the planet and revolutionise accounting. But anyway, that's just for tomorrow.